We are now joined by the winner of today's AAA 400 and the winner of 200 NASCAR National Series races, Kyle Busch, driver of the 18 Interstate Batteries Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. If you have a question for Kyle, please raise your hand. We'll give a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Kathy.
Kathy Brown pitting outside the box. Congratulations.
I didn't do that today. I sped. Just kidding.
I know. No, you didn't get a penalized today for that. They say nothing's as special as your first win, but this 200th win has got to be very special. Going back, how do you compare your first win to this win today?
I don't know. That's so long ago. I remember a little bit about it, obviously, but just the I don't know. I mean, I think the emotion of it on the first one was way greater just because it was the first one. I mean, my mom was in tears today. She was in tears on the first one. I don't know how many of the in-between 198 she was in tears for, but I'm sure there were a few of those as well, too. It's just been a crazy ride, and to get 200 here today at Auto Club Speedway is pretty cool. I mean, to bookend number one and 200 here at the same place, it's kind of crazy. On the same asphalt, this place hasn't been repaved, so that's been pretty cool as well, too, and just being able to win. That's what it's about.
We'll go next here to Elliot, and then to Lee.
I heard you say, and I didn't get all of it, about a comparison to Richard Petty. The 200 wins is significant, and he had 200, but you brought up like LeBron and Michael Jordan, and how do you compare then to Richard Petty?
So somebody asked me about whether or not I was the greatest of all time, and I was like, I'm never going to self-proclaim that. You know, that's for others to debate, but, you know, I just look at LeBron James is obviously really, really good in basketball. So is Michael Jordan, and two of them, you know, arguably one of them, which one or the other could be greatest of all time. But in my opinion, I don't know if in this day and age now anymore with how many eras we've been through in racing or basketball or football or whatever, if there is truly a greatest of all time. I think there's obviously greats, and I would just like to be attributed or, you know, in that mix of the top five, top eight guys. I think by the time I'm all said and done, I could be in the top two or three of those guys of greatest of all time, but I think it's going to be really, really hard to exactly pinpoint how you can define greatest when that time comes.
Next to Lee. And then to Dustin.
Lee Spencer, RacingVoice.com. You know, Earnhardt told Jeff Gordon early in his career, don't worry about what the fans think. You know, as long as they're making some sort of noise, you know that you've, you know, hit on something. But fans also like winners. Have you noticed the...
Do they?
Well, I mean, have you noticed a
pickup?
They
booed the hell out of Earnhardt for a long time, and Jeff Gordon, and Jimmy Johnson.
But do you feel your fan base picking up with your winning percentage?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like my fan base has been picking up over the years just of growing up a little bit. You know, obviously I turned off plenty back in the early days, and you're never going to change those minds, which is fine. But, you know, there's certainly some that are kind of turning the table or turning the corner a little bit as to seeing about more of what's today, who I am today, and the growing up that I've done. But overall, just, you know, I think that winning obviously kind of helps that. You know, I certainly have to give a huge shout out and praise to the Rowdy Nation fans that have been with me since the beginning, that have been with me since the five Kellogg's days, or heck, even my Xfinity days before I was a Cup guy, whatever. So even in Las Vegas, when we go out there and I sign autographs at M&M's World, there's people that I see there that come out that I remember seeing at the Bull Ring in Las Vegas, you know, and they're still Kyle fans. So those are the core group that I certainly am very appreciative of and that are very passionate about me.
Go next to Dustin, then to Jeff, and then to Chase.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Kyle, I'm curious, from your perspective, this win, 200, do you feel like it's more important to other people than it is to you? Obviously, it's created a lot of discussion, and I think about it in one sense, you know, in what, 6 days, 5 days, you're going to be in a truck at Martinsville, and you're a racer and competitor, and you're going to be focused. So I'm just trying to get a true sense of what 200 means, and is it? Do you feel like it means more to other people than it does to you right now because you're in the middle of it?
I mean, this was win number 200, but there's so many of the 200 that are special or meaningful, and I don't know how you can categorize or characterize all of them. And, you know, people ask me, well, what's the biggest win of your career? And I'm like, well, I guess Homestead 2015 is probably the biggest, right? So, you know, where does number 200, the 200th win at Auto Club Speedway stand? I don't know. You know, is it in one of the top 10 most memorable? Probably, because it is number 200, but just because of that. You know, it wasn't like it was the Daytona 500 I got it, or the Coke 600 or a Brickyard 400 or anything like that. So it was one of our races that's on our schedule. And it just so happened to be out here in California. But, you know, they've all been cherishable for their particular reasons, and I don't want to discredit any of them. I think that this milestone is obviously a special one to me, to many of those that are around me. My wife, my son will one day be able to recognize that. And Adam Stevens, my guys, I know many of the crews and crew chief people that that I've worked with over the course of my career obviously feel something about it as well, too. So it's pretty cool to hear from those guys.
Go next to Jeff and then to Chase.
You were pretty open for years about wanting to get to 200 at some point. So now that that's been checked off, do you have another number in mind, or is anything beyond this just a number?
Yeah, I think anything beyond this is just another number. But, I mean, I could go lightly and say, oh, well, yeah, 250, you know, or I could go reach for the stars and say, well, 300, what's wrong with that? I would be banned from all of them by then, exactly. You know, if I won 100 cup races, they'd probably be like, all right, that's enough, you're done. I don't know, nobody from F1's calling. So, you know, that's about the only thing higher, I guess, that I could try to go do. But, you know, with being close to 100 on Xfinity, that's kind of what I said I'd quit at. The truck stuff, being in the 50s, just I'd love to be able to continue on with that and be able to race those. They're my trucks. I like that. I like working with those guys, my team, my company. And then on the cup side as well, too, you know, somebody asked me, they're like, well, is 100 a number? And I was like, sure, you know, we'll set the next number on the cup side at 100. And it's going to be hard to get there. There's no question about that. You know, but you might as well set your goals high and go out there and strive to achieve.
Next to Chase.
Chase Wilhelm, NASCAR.com. Kyle, going back to the Michael Jordan, LeBron James thing. Jordan, he won 6 championships. LeBron has 3 right now. Mm-hmm. But there's other records that LeBron has reached to put him in that GOAT conversation. Mm-hmm. But in this sport, it seems like we only associate the GOATs with number of championships. So with you reaching this number today, do you think it's fair to talk about the greatest drivers of all time or some of the greatest and just focus on championships?
Yeah, to me, you know, there, like I said, in different eras, there's so many different things. Jimmy Johnson, he should be the GOAT, right? He should be the greatest of all time. He won the most championships in the most different ways of having to win a championship and the most different cars that he had to drive to be able to win races. You know, with before 2004, it was always the whole season was the champion, right? Now, then we had the 10-race playoff. Now we have 3-3-3 and then 1, you know, and unfortunately for me, I've made it to the Final Four the last 4 years, and I've only won it once, you know. So I feel like LeBron James, where I can make it to the finals, but then once I get there, I can't quite close it out and get it all done, you know. So there's, like I said, there's so many different, you said it too, comparables that not every single one person is going to have every single one of them, right? There's going to be this guy's got this guy's got that guy's got that, this guy's got this. And so I think that's what makes it to where you can't always say that there's a greatest, that there's greats.
Okay, we're going to head up to the Skybox. Any questions in the Skybox press box?
One question.
Go ahead, Skybox.
Hey, this is Chris Knight from CatchFence.com. Kyle, I've heard you mention Formula One a couple times over the past couple weekends, so I was curious if the doors ever opened and the opportunity was for you to walk away from NASCAR and you had an opportunity from a good team, would you take that F1 opportunity?
They're going to have to spend a hell of a lot of money to buy me out of Joe Gibbs Racing, that's for sure. So I don't know if it's going to be worth their investment. You know, there's probably too many things that those guys think about that we'd never be good at being able to drive those cars. I know Jimmy gave it a shot a couple weeks ago. Jeff's given it a shot, and I'd love to be able to give it a shot and kind of see, but I don't foresee the opportunity really blossoming and becoming something that I could take advantage of.
Any questions in the Terrace press box?
Yes, one question from the Terrace.
Go ahead, Terrace.
Actually, 2 questions. Wolfgang Munzer, Rennsport Press Agency from Germany.
Kyle, first of all, congratulations. Your 200 wins came with a Japanese car, Toyota. What's your personal opinion? Will this increase your fan base in Japan? And secondly,
oh, I'm number one in Japan, man. No question. Got that. Check.
And question number two, do you think personally there is maybe now a possibility you get a trip invitation to the headquarters in Japan to get a special award from the Toyota headquarters?
You know, I unfortunately, back when I won my championship, I was invited over there, and just timing didn't work out, and I wasn't able to get over there in order to be able to go and see those guys. There's only one guy that I need to be my fan over there in Japan, and that's Akio. So as long as Akio is a fan, then I'm all set. I'm good. But, no, I'm sure we've got plenty of Japanese fans from Japan that are huge about being Toyota followers and Toyota supporters. And, you know, it's cool to be able to have them over here. And for as much influence as they have on the U.S. economy and the things that they do, building cars here in the U.S. with 9 or 12 different plants, over 60,000 employees, American employees that have jobs here, is pretty remarkable. So obviously we wouldn't be in our position today without their support and the men and women of Toyota TRD that do such a great job to get us fast race cars each and every week to the racetrack.
Any additional questions here in the deadline room? Elliot?
Elliot Stern, Santa Maria Times. I asked Coach Gibbs this. If you gave him a heart attack, after you
got... Please don't say that word.
Push back. Well, I've had two, so I can use
I don't
it.
Need him to have any.
But after you got pushed back in the field, you made a couple of bold moves with no room to spare to make them.
Yeah.
What did you see that said in your mind, I can make that move?
How do you term this? I'm pretty good with, you know how in movies, like you can, like when you go into the head of somebody that has like that vision where you can like, it's got like all that, like a fighter jet vision, right? Like you can see, I have that, you know, so I can see the gap. I can see exactly how wide the gap is and to know how wide I am and I can fit that gap. So I have that vision. that wasn't funny. Okay, good. Moving on. So, yeah, I mean, just when I go and I get a run and I see opportunities to make some of those moves, it's whether or not the gap looks big enough. And if it looks big enough, I'm going for it and I'm shooting it. And if it closes up, then we might wreck. But fortunately, the guys up top on the spotter stand have been getting a lot better at knowing that I'm a crazy idiot. And they'll tell their drivers to leave room sometimes so I can get through there.
All right. Jason Residlow, AmericaJR.com. At what point today did you know you were going to win? Was it like 10 laps to go, 5 laps?
It was before the race started. Serious question. What was the question? When did I know I was going to win? I don't think you ever know when you're going to win. I guess, you know, you kind of – the relief sets in when you take the white flag because you know you're coming back no matter what to end the race. So that's kind of when the relief sets in. So, you know, it obviously was – you're hearing every single little noise in the race car and things like that for the last 20 laps of the race. You know, you're hearing rocks flying up in the quarter panel thinking, is that rubber chunks? Is the tire coming apart? You know, and so it's just crazy that you hear everything that that you don't want to hear in the final 20 laps. But I would say once you take the white flag, that's pretty much when you seal the deal.
Well, Kyle, congratulations on your 200th win and to many more.
All righty. Thank you.
Take care.
Appreciate it, guys.